How are we doing? Everybody's good, good. There are some handouts in the back if you have not gotten one yet. They should be back there. But while you're getting settled, we're going to be talking about something that the Lord's been doing in my life really the last 2-3 years. Something that God's just been teaching me about life and what that is. And so what that is just the aspect of brokenness and how God uses that in our life. And so I'll share a little bit about what God's taught me, but hopefully you can relate to some of that tonight, and we'll be able to see how the Lord uses that in our life. So we're going to be in, to start off, now we are going to be moving around a little bit, but we're going to start in Psalm chapter 51, and we'll go from there. So, well, the first thing we need to, I want y'all to understand is what brokenness is. And specifically, there's a lot of different types that I found when I was looking at this stuff, and I came across a lot of different definitions. And so, you know, I had the kind of the definition in my mind of what I thought it was, and I found a couple other that I think were very helpful to what I wanted to talk about tonight. But when I was thinking, you'll see this on your sheet. So I define brokenness as a low point in your spirit or being brokenhearted due to your spiritual inadequacy. And specifically what I'm talking about when I say brokenness is just the general awareness of how imperfect you are and just how sinful you are in your own heart. And I found another article that was dealing with brokenness that they said it well. He called it a contrite spirit over our own sinfulness. Contrite is a Bible word, and that just, it's kind of the same thing that means brokenhearted. And I think when the Lord brings us to periods of brokenness and seasons of brokenness, that especially spiritually speaking, that He brings us to a point where we know our own sin well enough to drive us back to the Lord. So we'll see, some of the things we'll talk about is how God uses that and exactly what He uses, because depending on the situation and what time you're in your own life, it might be something different. It might be circumstances, might be people, whatever the case may be. He uses a lot of different things. So, a good example of brokenness is found in Psalm chapter 51. David speaking here, and this is right after Nathan had rebuked him after his affair with Bathsheba had been found out. And as I read it, we'll see just, and you can hear and kind of imagine how brokenhearted David was over his own sin. So we'll pick up verse 1 and I'll read 1 through 4. So David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Now, we'll come back to that in a second with the actual situation in Samuel. But David had just been found out. He'd been rebuked by Nathan and had been shown his sin and how serious it was. And we can see from that part that his heart was broken over sin. And that's where God wants us to get to the point that there's something in our life that needs to be corrected. Whether it be a sin that we could, it may not be a sin that like our example here with David that we just committed, but it might just be something in our hearts that needs to be corrected. And I'll touch on that more in a second. But then the second point we have on your sheet is the avenues of brokenness. And what that means is, what does God use in our own life to bring us to the point? What are His tools that He uses? And I think y'all can relate to a lot of these. But He'll use a lot of different ones. And so the first one that I was thinking of is our circumstances. And these can be just situations in our life, whether it's things that blindside us or even things that we walk ourselves into, when it's our fault that we walk into and there's nobody to blame or point fingers but it's us that we did. And the Lord will allow that situation to play out and bring us to a point to where we need to be broken over our sin. But sometimes, like in the example of Job, that, you know, there's nothing necessarily a specific sin that God's trying to break us of. He just wants us to bring to a point to be more like Him. So if you'll turn to Jonah chapter 2 with me, I think this is a good example of how God can use our circumstances to bring us to repentance. So Jonah chapter 2. Now at this point where we pick up, God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I don't want to do it. So he gets on a ship and tries to go the opposite direction. Well, y'all know what happens. God sends a storm, makes everyone upset. They figure out that it's Jonah's fault. They throw him overboard, and then a big fish swallows him. So here we pick up, Jonah is in the belly of the fish. And listen to his phrasing as he prays this. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the flood compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Then we pick up verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee in thine holy temple. Now we see the circumstances that God had to get Jonah's attention, did he not? Maybe you've been there. I know I have. When I didn't want to do something, I was going the wrong direction, and God had to use the circumstances around me to get my attention. And we see that in verse 7. I'll read it again. He said, when my soul fainted, so he's at a low point, he has that contrite spirit within me, I remembered the Lord. So he brought him back to repentance. And because that, through those circumstances, God was able to direct Jonah back to where he needed to be. Another avenue that God will use is the rebuke of fellow believers. So there are times when God uses people close to us, whether it's a friend or a co-worker or, you know, a parent, even in some cases, to rebuke us and bring us to repentance and to give us direction when we need it. So here we'll be in 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is when we go back to David's example. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And so here, David has had an affair with Bathsheba, and he's had Uriah, her husband, killed, and she's pregnant, and now he thinks he's gotten away with it. And we see in chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, the Nathan the prophet comes to him, tells him this parable about a man with a sheep, and a rich man came and took the sheep away from him and had him killed when the rich man had plenty of sheep, and made David really mad. And that, you know, I was thinking about that. That just shows you how blind David was to his own sin. That he couldn't, after the story that Nathan had told him that wasn't real, he still wasn't able to recognize his own self in that. And it took a rebuke from Nathan to directly tell him, you're the guy, you're the one I'm talking about. And as soon as he said that, the Holy Spirit was able to convict him. We see that in verse 7. He says, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. That's you. I'm talking about you. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee over king of Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I would moreover had given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in this sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. Notice how direct he's been. And hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. And then verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, notice his attitude, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. So, in this case, it took a rebuke from David, or from Nathan, to David. He had no idea, you know, he had, in my mind, it seems like he had forgotten about it. That he'd gotten away with it, and he said, oh, okay, I'm good, I covered it up, I can enjoy my new family now. But it took a direct rebuke from Nathan to specifically say, even after the parable, look, this is you, man, I'm talking about you. And then that brought him to repentance. So he can use the rebuke of other people. Now, I have a personal story about this. When I was in high school, I think I was a 10th grader. So I was about 15 or 16 years old. Our school did a event every year at the Athens YMCA called the Relay for Life. You might be familiar with it. It was a fundraiser for cancer survivors. So our club at school, you know, it was an all-night thing. We were going to stay up all night. There's other schools there. And we were going to try to, you know, raise money, playing games. It was a good time. One of the events they did was a scavenger hunt. So I did not participate in this. I was just hanging out in our tent. And I was with another man who was a pastor of a church close to my school. His son was there, but he was off somewhere else. It was just me and this pastor in our group tent. So scavenger hunt's going on. Here comes a kid from a rival school looking for stuff for the scavenger hunt. Hey, I need this. And we didn't have it. He runs off. And I made the comment, well, we wouldn't give it to you anyways. And then the guy, the pastor, just kind of looks at me. This, by the way, this rival school is not a Christian school. He looks at me and he said, that's not a very Christ-like attitude. That's all he had to say. Now, how good do you think I felt about that? Not very good, right? And he was right. I had no defense. That was not a Christ-like attitude. And I'll never forget that. That was 15 years ago, and I still remember that to this day. So sometimes we just need a rebuke. The third thing that God can use as a tool to bring us to repentance or to bring us to a point of brokenness is Satan's accusations. Now, this is the one that kind of hits me closer to home. You know, kind of what the Lord has been dealing with me with over the past few years is misconceptions or even lies that I believed about who God was. It's nobody's fault. I just had believed the wrong things. So we have oftentimes we believe things about God that aren't true, and that shows up in the way that we live our life. For example, in my life, I went through a time, two and a half, where I just felt like I was the biggest failure to ever walk the earth. Everything that I did, I could see flaws in it. And I think God allowed in my own life for Satan to just attack me and make me aware of how imperfect I was. Because I could remember after a day's work or whatever I was doing that day, I would be laying in the bed, staring at the ceiling, just replaying the day about how many times I had failed, the things I didn't do right, the things I could have done better, all those things, and just in my own mind thinking, well, God, it's just a matter of time before He moves on from me because He's not going to be able to use me. If I can't minister to people, if I miss opportunities to share the gospel, or if I'm not being a good influence where He's put me, all these laundry list of things, if I can't do this, God's just going to move on from me. And, you know, reflecting on that, looking back now, I can see, and if you would ask me at that point, hey, do you think you can earn God's favor? Is there anything you can do to make God love you any more or less? I would have said no. Absolutely not. God loves me no matter what. I'm saved. Jesus paid it all. I'm free, living free from sin. But what through that whole period is God revealed to me is that I didn't really believe that. I said that, but in my own heart, I didn't really believe that. Because if I did, I wouldn't have been able, carrying that guilt and that shame that Satan would put on me. And that I went through a long season of brokenness where I'd struggled and just a lot of different things were not going well. And it was because I just felt everything was all about me and it was all on me. But what that did is God allowed that to happen. He allowed all that spiritual warfare. And what that did is that drove me straight to God. And guess who I found when that drove me straight to God? I found the Lord. And that was His plan all along. And so God had to bring me to that period and that season of brokenness for me to be able to realize how deep-rooted that lie was about that God's favor was to be earned. And again, I didn't even know I thought that until I had read books, I had listened to people speak, and it was just little by little God had revealed that to me through that sanctifying process, like you are believing some things about me that just aren't true. And, you know, as I go, you know, I'm thankful for that now. But like, it was a difficult season. And I'm sure everyone in here could relate to that. That difficult seasons of whether it's circumstances or spiritual warfare or just difficult times in their life, that all those things ended up driving you back to the Lord. So those are what God's use. That's what He uses in our heart to draw Him back to us. And so what is God's plan? What is His purpose for brokenness? Now, wouldn't it be nice if God could just tell us, hey, you need to work on that. And then you just pray about it and then it's over. Wouldn't that be nice? The problem with that is, a lot of times, me included, we don't often learn the lesson we need to learn. So in order to do that, God has to break us down. It doesn't feel good, but the result is good. So the purpose, what is He wanting to do? So there are several things that I could find that He wants us to do. And the main thing I think that He wants us to do is to rid us of ourselves. And what I mean by that is He wants to strip us of all self-sufficiency and all pride and everything that causes us not to depend on Him. Because once you get to that point of where you're low and you have nowhere else to go, then the only thing you have is the Lord. I've heard it said before, and I might mess this quote up, but sometimes you don't know that God is all you need until God is all you have. Y'all ever heard that before? And I think that's what the Lord wants us to do. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, if y'all turn there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This is a good example, a good scripture to claim to see what God's trying to do in our life when He brings us down into a season of brokenness. So it says in verse 9, "For to this end also I did write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." So what Paul is saying here, because of this, and he's talking about a difficult situation, because of this, I might be obedient in all things. Okay, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We'll read that in a second. And it forced him to rely on God's strength. And He wants us to strip us of all self-sufficiency so that we can depend on Him. Okay, the second example we find in chapter 7 of verse 10 of 2 Corinthians. "And for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Okay, and so the second purpose of brokenness is to bring us to repentance. Now, I've touched on that a little bit before, but God wants to bring us to repentance. And so, if there is something in our life that we're trying to hold back from God, like Jonah or like David, where we thought we got away with it, or we're trying to run from the Lord's purpose in our life, whatever that case is, you know, He wants us to bring us to repentance. So, first of all, He wants us to be like Jesus and rid us of ourselves and get us rid of self-sufficiency. But sometimes He might need to get our attention to bring us to repentance. And sometimes we don't get the idea until God can crush us and bring us down to where all we have to do is look up. And then the third thing He wants us to do, or the third purpose, is to rid us of deep-rooted lies. Now, this was kind of my story with that. And, you know, when we have things about in our own heart and our own mind that we believe about the Lord, you know, it takes seasons of brokenness to bring us out of that. And, you know, I shared a little bit about how I didn't even realize that I was thinking that. And maybe you've been there too. You had a thought pattern in your own heart, your own life, that needed to be changed, but you didn't even know that you needed it until it was gone. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us. And He takes us to a low place for us to see His true character. Because the problem with us is, and with me, I'm not really good at self-examination. Not true self-examination anyways. we all tend to have a skewed view of what we really are, for better or for worse, one side or the other. Most of the time, 99, all the time, we need help from the Holy Spirit to see where we really are in our life, in our own heart. So, that is what God wants us to do. He's the purpose of His brokenness. So what are the benefits of brokenness? What does He lead us to? Now, I will say, if we're going to get the benefits of being in a season of brokenness, we have to allow that. Because God gives us a choice. And there's examples in Scripture where the Lord brought people to a season of brokenness and a low point, but they didn't respond correctly. And when they did, they missed the lesson. But we also see other examples where the Lord brought them to a low point in their life, but they did respond correctly. And God was able to teach them lessons and able to grow them and make them more like Him. One of the examples I'm thinking of is Job. That's the one probably that comes to most people's mind, is that he repented. He tried to do what the Lord wanted to do. And even in the midst of all his pain and sorrow, he still turned to the Lord and he still kept his focus on God. Even in his complaining, he still directed all those complaints. He directed them to God through prayer. And the Lord heard him, and he was able to experience the benefits. So I think one of the benefits, if we allow it, is we can get hope. Now here's what I mean when we say hope. If you live long enough and you've been through enough difficult times, you know that nothing lasts forever. And that you know that even in the midst of deep pain and deep sorrow and deep trials, that no matter what, there's hope on the other side of it. That nothing lasts forever. Even if you die with this issue, if you're a Christian, it ends at death. You get to experience eternity with Jesus. So we can see hope. We have promises that we can claim from that. And even when you're in the midst of a season of brokenness, you can look back at other seasons and you can see that the Lord brought you through those, and that there are times in life when He does those things, and that gives you hope in the midst of trials, in the midst of those types of seasons. I know in my own heart, you know, at this time in my life, I can look back at those seasons where I have struggled and the Lord was really working on me, and when I was at a low point, I can look back and I see what Lord was doing in that time period and how He brought me out of it and what I learned. And now I can look back, and when future trials come, I'll be able to see those examples and I'll be able to have hope if I can make that decision, God help me. And we have the same choice as well, that when the Lord brings us to those situations, that we have that choice to claim that hope. Because the Bible says that we have a hope that's not going to fail. So the next benefit that we get from brokenness is gratitude. And this tails off of hope. So if you're able to have hope, then you're able to be more thankful in the midst when things are going good. And also, you get to be thankful when things are going wrong. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me about, has y'all ever read The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom? Y'all familiar with that? So for those of you who are not familiar with that, she was in a German concentration camp during World War II. And she talked about in her book that when they were down in this prison cell, it was a disgusting situation. And when the flies were really bad in that prison cell, the guards didn't come down. And when the guards came down there, y'all know how that would be. There would be beatings, abuse, all kinds of bad stuff. But she was able to say, and she used this example, that they learned to be thankful and have gratitude for the flies, because the flies kept the guards away, which would make things worse. And sometimes in our own heart, in our own life, I can practice that a little better, especially to be thankful for the difficult times, because you know those difficult times are going to bring joy and lessons that need to be learned and the things that God wants from us. And we can also, like I said, we can experience gratitude when things are well and enjoy what God's given us when things are going good. And then the third benefit that we get, and this is probably the most important, but we become more like Jesus. God's goal for every believer is to make us like Jesus. No matter what we're doing, no matter where we are, God is, if you're a believer, He's always going to be working on you. And that is one of the benefits that we get out of being in a low point, is we get to be like Jesus. We learn things about our personality that need to change. We learn things about our life and our thought patterns and our habits that need to change. And slowly, little by little, sanctification is often a slow process. Lord, will use these seasons of brokenness to bring us down and to bring us low so that we can look up to Him. And now that He has our attention, we can become more like Jesus. And that's when the fruit of the Spirit is most evident, is when we have, right after a season of brokenness. We can see that. I can see that in my own life. And I'm sure that y'all can see that in your lives as well. So my challenge to y'all is, maybe you can relate, maybe you're not in a season right now where things are rough or when seasons are broke or you're broken. But whatever the case may be, whatever the situation is, good or bad, make the decision to seek the Lord. Because in my own life, and I shared about this earlier, during my low points, even when I was struggling the most, God would still speak to me when I needed it the most. Whether that be a church service, I would have people call and text that I hadn't heard from in years with a word of encouragement. And all that to say that God is still going to be chasing and working on you no matter what. And so, all the thoughts, God wants to hear your thoughts, good or bad. And so, when you're in those seasons of difficulty and brokenness, God is going to work and He's going to drive you to Him. So, to get the benefits and to get the experience that we need from that, we must make the decision to follow Him. And He's promised to never leave us, and He's always faithful even when we are not. And I think that's a big one. That even when I stray and I am not doing what needs to be done or following the Lord, God is always going to be there, and He's always going to be faithful even when we're not. Because God is good, and He never leaves us. Amen? God help us. All right, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to move into the prayer request. Lord God, we thank You for this night and for what You've done and taught here tonight. And God, in my own heart, I'm so thankful for how You've dealt with me and how You've used situations in my own life to bring me closer to You. And Lord, if there's anyone here that is struggling, You know what they need, and You know what they need to hear. So Lord, I just ask now that You would help them and draw them to Yourself so that they can be more like You. And Lord, we commit these things to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.